This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of, well, not this week, it's the Thursday edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, coming to you from the Patio Studios and brought to you by our good friends over at the Innovated Companies. That's InnovatedCompanies.com. My man, Randy Green, home of Innovated Construction, Innovated Heating and Cooling, Innovated Electric, and now Innovated Plumbing. For all of your residential, commercial, or industrial needs in any of the four areas of his expertise, give him an opportunity for your business. That's InnovatedCompanies.com. A man of his word, 35 years of experience, second-generation craftsman, and more importantly, a man of his word. Get him involved early in the process. Save yourself some time, energy, and money. My man, Randy Green. Interesting topics today for the show. Day off, which I think we all... Man, I tell you what, there's nothing worse than a day off. I understand they have to build in these days off, but man, I don't know what it is. It used to not bother me as much when I was younger, but... Anymore, man, I'm upset when the Cardinals don't have a game, but I guess it is what it is. Maybe because when I was coaching a lot and I was busy every night, if there was a game, it was what it was. But, man, oh, man, this is driving me crazy. No game tonight. But we're going to talk. We got a couple topics to talk about. Obviously, Cardinals lose 2 of 3 to the Royals, which, you know, I'd say we'd all say shouldn't happen. There's a lot of things that shouldn't happen. You know, it is what it is. Lost 2 of 3. Offense goes quiet once again. We get good pitching, except for a couple of instances. Other than that, the question becomes, do you believe this offense will come around and be what it should be or what we all thought it would be, or are we in trouble? To that point, obviously today the hot topic is too Manny or not too Manny. We'll see what happens there. My friend and yours, Josh Potter, wrote an interesting article for Art City Media that says that we shouldn't go get Manny Machado. And I want everyone to know out there that when he came into work today, I had a psychiatrist and a medical professional waiting for him to have him analyzed. And he checked out okay, so I'm not quite sure where this article came from. His counterpart, Aaron Mullins, I believe, wrote a counter article, so we thought it'd be interesting to talk about. And, of course, being that we'll have everybody's favorite Mo's algorithm on today, he will make the case for or against Manny Machado when it comes to the numbers, so to speak. But if you want to know why we should have Manny Machado from the eye test or from the player's point of view or from the dugout or from the field, you know we're going to hear from everybody's favorite on the m4byyachty.com hotline. Let's welcome in Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
What's going on, guys? I'm ready to go.
Yeah, Josh obviously is here with us. What's going on?
What's going on, guys?
How are you doing? Okay after the physical you got when you came
in
today?
Oh, okay. I checked out great.
The psych eval went okay. They didn't. You're not in a straitjacket and in a room to protect yourself from yourself.
I'm not. No. I'm okay.
Okay.
Clear-headed.
All right. Because, Benji, I want you to know that, you know, Josh wrote that article saying we didn't need Manny Machado, and I had him checked out today. So
I didn't say we didn't need him.
Okay, well you're.
I said we shouldn't go get him for reasons that I've listed.
Okay, well you're gonna.
But I mean, Manny's a friggin' stud.
You're gonna get to talk about those
reasons.
Let's first just touch on losing 2 of 3 to the Royals. Benji, we seem like we get going and then we kind of hit a roadblock, and we get going and we hit a roadblock. I mean, it seemed like so many good things happened on the field over that 3-day period, and then you walk away losing 2 of 3. How does that happen?
I got no idea how it happens, because obviously those things happen in baseball, and when you're playing, you don't have that mindset. You don't see it that way. You see that you lost the game. Now it's a little easier for me because I'm not involved in the game, so I see it from a different angle than players now. But when I was playing, man, it was just a tough series. Move on. Let's get the next guy up. Let's get the next team up, and let's try to beat up on them. We're not. I was never conscious of that was a tough loss. We should have won it. Dang it, they're playing bad, and we should have won these games. I never found myself doing that. I never remember one time. I don't remember any time doing that. So, but now it's a little easier for me to see it, because I'm away from the game. I see it from my outside. I see it from a fan perspective, right? So it's tough. It's tough now to lose those two, but it's time to move on, because they got two next two series are really even more important than the Kansas City now. So they better put the pants on tight, because they got Pittsburgh and they got Brewers. So, and if you don't have them tight, they're going to have them tight. So you better be prepared for those two teams. So I think that's my point of view. The players, they don't see that. The players see that today's a day off. They go out there, or maybe they spend it with the family. Then in the afternoon, they would leave to Pittsburgh, have dinner, rest, and come back and face whoever they got to face. That's how we see it as a player. But like I said, now I'm not a player, so I see it a little differently. It was a tough one. It was a really tough one. I thought they should have won those games. But, hey, it happens. It happens in the big leagues. And can I ask you guys something? Can we get those losses? Don't count, right? Because it's against Kansas City, right?
Yeah, if you beat them, it doesn't count. So I guess if
any
you lose.
Any sub-500 teams, they don't count.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, they're a professional baseball team. I always say even the worst teams typically win about 60, 70 games, you know, 50 at the least.
Hamill guy. The Hamill haven't won since 17.
Yeah.
September 17. We haven't won a game since September of 17, and he came and shut us down.
Yeah, he won one now. He's won a game now.
Yeah, he's won it against us.
Well, I have a thought process on the whole thing that I'm just not sure. I hate to say this. I'm not a mix and match guy. I want a lineup, right? I want a lineup I can count on. I've been preaching up here for 2 years that we've got a bunch of complimentary players. The truth of the matter is that they went out and got a guy that I thought was going to be a guy that you just plug in the four hole every day and he produces. Now, it hasn't worked out, and I like the guy. He reminds me a little bit of Dexter Fowler in the sense of how I feel about him, and I want to love Marcell Ozuna. I want to love everything about him. I love his character, his charisma. I love what I think he can do.
Ozuna's a way different player than Fowler. Don't forget
that. Yeah, I know. I'm talking about my mindset of what I want. And my thing is, I don't think anybody doubts what he can do, but the reality of it is he really hasn't done it. And now, I'll say for the record that I don't care. So, you know, I don't care if you care, and I don't care if you're mad that I don't care. I don't care that he overslept yesterday. He's a human being. He's allowed to make a mistake. And I'll say this for the record. I don't care why he overslept. I don't care if he was out till 3 o'clock in the morning drinking. I've spent years out till 3 o'clock in the morning drinking and getting up and going to work every day and never being.
Or maybe he was up. He was up field 3 with the kids.
Yeah, and that's where I was going with this. I don't care why you're late. The bottom line is, everybody knows you're not supposed to be late. Everybody already knows this, okay? I spent years out all night with my friends, getting up, going to work every day, never being late. and then occasionally waking up late and getting in trouble at work. I spent years not drinking, not doing this, not doing that, and getting up late for work because I just fell back asleep. Whatever it was, it doesn't matter. The reality of it is I'm human. I make mistakes. I'm held accountable at my job, okay, just like he was held accountable yesterday. I don't understand why we act like these guys are not human beings. That's my point in this whole deal. Again, what if I told you, would it change your mind if I told you? Because I know what everybody assumes. See, that's the problem. I know what people are assuming. That's why I said that. People are assuming, like I can tell by the Twitter, well, where's his wife? Well, he's got three kids. How does a guy with a wife and three kids oversleep? I mean, his wife knows he has to be at the park. Where is he? Oh, he must have been out drinking. He must have been out doing this. I have no idea what his arrangements are, but the reality is this. What if I told you he went, he got up early, went and worked out, had a breakfast, was exhausted, laid back down, fell asleep? What if I told you that? You don't know. I don't know. For all I know, he was doing the opposite. I don't know, and neither do you, is my point. There's a few people that know why he overslept. But the bottom line is he will answer to his employer. Now, if you feel you're owed something because you're a fan, well, good luck to you. Because you're going to get what you always get from these guys, the least amount of information as possible. And that can frustrate you. You're allowed to be frustrated. But he's not the first player to oversleep. And I'm going to tell you this. I 100% understand the sensitive people out there that, well, it's unacceptable because we've had a guy not show up to the park. And listen, my son's middle name is Kyle after Daryl Kyle because he was being born while that was going on. Okay? So, and you know, all the tributes to him and what a great man he was, and we decided to name him Kyle, his middle name, because, you know, all the stuff that was on TV while we were in a hospital. But the reality of it is just because there was a tragedy, I mean, you can't blame Marcell Ozuna because he overslept because they had a tragedy in the Cardinal family with somebody not showing up to the park. He made a mistake. Okay, now, if it continues to happen, we'll deal with it. I can't believe, I know for a fact he's not the only player in the league to oversleep. Benji, I think you were telling me you played with a tremendous pitcher that overslept once, and he both paid for it in the public view, and then did he not pay for it on the team view as well?
Yes, he did, and you're totally right, Jimbo. We do not know what happened because we're the outsiders. The people inside, like Mike Matheny and the ownership and all the coaches and the players, they might know what happened. It's unacceptable. Don't get me wrong. You can never be late for anything. You can never be late for a bus ride. You can never be late for anything in baseball. You should never be late. You should. I shouldn't say you never should because it could happen, right? But you should never be late unless obviously something happened. But we don't know in this case. So let's leave it like that. He got in trouble. He didn't play. And oh, I bet you anything, he got chewed up by the manager, probably, or talked about, or anything. But we had a guy named Tim Lincecum, which that year he won the Cy Young. That same year. He overslept, and he didn't go to the park late. He missed the flight. The flight over to a road trip. He missed the flight. Okay? He missed the bus to the airport. He didn't get to the airport in time to leave on a plane. He missed it. So when we got to St. Louis, he already got a flight, you know, or whatever. The next trip we did was St. Louis, and the payment was he had to, at 3 a.m. in the morning, everybody's heading up to the room to get some sleep, and he had to stay with the equipment manager and deliver every single bag of every single player. That was his punishment. And he did it because he knocked on my door and I saw him. I was like, what the heck, man? What are you doing? He goes, oh, man, I have to deliver all the bags tonight. And I'm like, oh, wow. So good luck, buddy. And, you know, but he had to do it. He had to do it. And that was his payment. But like Jimbo said, there's no way Ozuna and Lincecum are the only one up oversleeping or being a little late for practice or whatever it is, to the bus, missing the bus. I saw a couple guys that missed the bus in Anaheim, but they rode their car to the airport. They actually made it before us, but they missed the bus time. I mean, that happens more than people think. And I think it's going on more, and people are noticing more on Ozuna because he's struggling and because he's not given the numbers that we were expected and all that stuff. I think that's what it's becoming a little bit more than what it is. For us as a player, we see it quite a bit. It's just that it doesn't get out into the media.
Well, again, I can't help but think that that, you know, listen, I'm not even going to waste any more time on this. If you want to be mad at him, go ahead. You know, it's your right. Be mad. If you think he owes you something, well, good luck. That's fine. You know, he owes his teammates. He owes himself. He owes the ownership group. And if they're okay with it, then you're going to have to be okay with it. That's it. End of discussion.
I bet you he'll be fine at the bus ride to the airport today. He'll be listening to music, singing, and having fun with his teammates.
Yeah, my guess is he'll – I'm sure there is something in place for him, much like Tim Lincecum with his teammates. Well, it'd be funny if we knew what it was. Maybe we'll never hear about it. Maybe we'll hear about it years later. But the reality of it is I'm sure they'll deal with it. I'm sure they'll have some fun with it as well, because that's probably what they do.
And he's wrong, Jimbo. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not trying to make an excuse for him at all, because I was a player and I would have hated for one of my teammates, especially when our offense meets you and our offense and you're in the lineup and all of a sudden we got to kick you out because you're late. I mean, I would have hated that when I was a player. I'm not trying to make any excuses. We just don't know what happened, right?
Well, that's kind of where I was going with, I don't really care what happened. The reality of it is he made a mistake. It's wrong no matter what happened. Let's get that straight. He should be on time. Yeah. But again, it's wrong no matter who does it. You deal with it. Everybody's situation is different at work, right? I say it all the time. I've been late. And I'm still employed. You know, I I've wasted more breath on this than I wanted to. Let's move on, as obviously I think we got a fun show for you today. As I mentioned before, the theme of today's show is too Manny or not too Manny. That is the question. So we are going to talk about it. Before we do, we want to remind everybody, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. That's our website. You can subscribe to the show there. It's absolutely free. You can help us out by doing all your Amazon shopping there. We know you're shopping at Amazon. You know, simple. If you're on your computer, down to the right, click Amazon. If you're on your mobile device, scroll all the way down, click Amazon on from our website. You're done with us. Doesn't cost you anything. We get a very small referral. We would absolutely appreciate it, and it does help us. And some of you guys are doing it, and thank you very much. You know who you are. Social media, this is why we love social media, stuff like this. This is what people want to talk about, so we're going to talk about it. It sparks conversation. It engages people. We love it, and we want you to be a part of it. Find us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Follow us if you're a Cardinal fan. If you're a Cardinal fan and we can tell, we're going to follow you back. We want to know what you're thinking. Same thing with Facebook. And we're going to ask you to go to Facebook. In the search bar, type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. Like all your friends. Invite all your friends. And if they like the page, then I'm telling you, there's a contest coming where it's going to matter for you. So make sure you start doing that. You can find Birds on a Bat, the Facebook group. If you want to be a part of that, just ask to join. If you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to let you in. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Find us there. Some neat stuff we'll be doing through there, contests as well. And, of course, you can find us over at lineupmedia.fm, home now of Yo Radio, the newest internet radio sensation. Download it. It's absolutely free from the App Store. Leave them a review. They'd appreciate it. They're growing each and every day. New artists, new entertainers, new people within the sports industry, people creating stations on there. You can kind of find out what's going on. It's a lot of fun. I know that streamed radio is becoming a big thing now, and Yo Radio is right up there with the top of them. LineupMedia.fm, they take your entertainment time very seriously. Special thanks, of course, to our good friends over at Adam's Smokehouse. If you need some barbecue, which everybody needs barbecue, if you ask me. Get over there and try the ribs. Adam's Smokehouse over on Watson Road. Tell Mike and all the gang over there that you heard about them on Two Birds on a Bat. We saw some people tweet at us that they took the suggestion, went over there and had lunch, and it was fantastic. They're definitely going back again. We can't tell you how much we appreciate all their support. And, you can't go wrong with the ribs. Get over there and try the ribs. Get yourself down to Arlington Golf Course, Granite City's jewel, the the hidden gem of the Midwest. Get down there and see Mark Marcuso play some golf. The course looks phenomenal, I always say. A bunch of rain and some sunshine, and that place is greener than you can imagine. Get down there, see my man Mark Marcuso, ask him if you can have one of his stogies. Hit the course, have a couple of beverages, enjoy a good round. And, you know, again, I cannot tell you, if you haven't played Arlington, you're going to be like, holy cow, I didn't even know this was here. Get down there and see our man Mark Marcuso. Okay, let's get to some Manny chatter. And for that, there's nobody better to bring in than our man Mo's Algorithm, as it's time for Sweaters and Bow Ties, where analytics meet the eye test. My man Mo's, what's going on?
Oh, how are you doing, Jim?
Well, I want you to know, I had said earlier on the show, but now that you're with us, that when Josh got in the office today, I had a medical team here to make sure that he was of sound mind after writing an article insinuating that we didn't need Manny Machado. So I want you to know that he checked out. He's not in a straitjacket or in a room to protect himself from himself. He checked out. Oh, wait, these are padded walls in here, as he just felt. So I want you to know that he is of sound mind and now ready to make his points of why we don't need Manny Machado. So the first thing we're going to do, though, is we're going to start with you, and we're going to let you tell us why. And, again, the question is to Manny or not to Manny. We're going to let you say your piece, and then we're going to hear from the former player and tell us why we should Manny or not Manny. Then, after all those compelling arguments, we're going to let Josh take the floor. So why don't you go ahead, Mose?
Well, I think the main thing with acquiring Manny Machado is going to be the cost and whether it's worth it or not. I think we all know what type of player he is, as Josh, you know, alluded to in his article. You know, everybody would love to have Manny Machado. He's a great player. He's going to make any team better. It's just a matter of what it costs to get him and whether that cost is worth 3 or 4 months of a guy as opposed to having someone over full, you know, multiple years of control. I say they should go get him, but again, I don't know the discussions on how much that's going to cost. If that's going to cost a Jack Flaherty, then no, you don't do it. You know, if it costs a Jordan Hicks, if someone like Jordan Hicks is the centerpiece of that deal, then yeah, you probably take the risk and go for it, trading a reliever who throws 100 miles an hour, you know, as opposed to, you know, a Jack Flaherty you're going to have for the next 5 or 6 years, you know, in the front of the rotation. But the numbers are all there. Manny's having an incredible year. My only concern is his grotesque defense at shortstop. He's not good there. And if that's really where he wants to be, then that may not be the best thing for the Cardinals either, because Paul DeJong has outperformed him at shortstop this year, and it's not even close according to the defensive metric. You know, and then you run into a situation where you just signed, you know, Paul DeJong to be your shortstop for the next 6 years. Is he okay moving to third base? Is Manny okay playing third base? Is there going to be an issue with one of these guys moving over to third base? And then, kind of like Josh alluded to in his article as well, where does Jed Jerko play? Where does Matt Carpenter play? Where does Colton Wong play? And that's not to say that you don't make room for a player like Manny, but you also have to have some pieces falling elsewhere, or you're going to have 8 infielders on a team. You can only play 4. So I would love for them to acquire Manny Machado. It would show, you know, that they're really trying to do something different for once rather than just staying with their status quo. But ultimately, I'm sure that this is all just discussion and it's not going to happen. That's my argument.
Okay. Benji, your thoughts on to Manny or not to Manny?
Well, I'm right with Moles. I'm really, really right with him, because if I'm going to lose a Flaherty, hell no. If I'm going to lose even Hicks, hell no. This guy's too young, man. A Hicks, like he said, you might take a chance, but I wouldn't, man. That guy has the potential to be here in St. Louis for forever as a reliever, and who knows, whatever. But it depends on what cost. I'm with him in that. I'm not going to give away. Like I was in a team in the Giants where they let go Zach Wheeler for a month or 2 months of Carlos Beltran, and then Carlos Beltran never signed back in there or signed somewhere else or something like that, and they ended up losing Wheeler, one of their prospects for Carlos Beltran. So I don't want that to happen to us. Does Machado, is worth it? Hell yeah, it's worth it. I mean, that's a impact player, and I would love to have him in our club. It's just you have to make sure you don't lose that much to get him, and I don't know how that's going to happen. So if it's the right guys, go for it, because I would love to have him, I tell you. But if it's not the right guys, man, I don't want to do it for a couple months, and then he'll sign with the Yankees or with the Cubs, and here we are, lost five guys, four guys, three guys of our main prospects, and here he is the next year signing with the Cubs. I don't want to see that, you know? So I think the Cardinals battle so much to have these exciting pitching stuff that is coming up, exciting guys in the bullpen that might be out there. If they don't make their rotation, they might be in the bullpen helping us. This is exciting times, at least for me as a fan. I cannot wait to see Reyes out there. I cannot wait to see all these kids that are coming back and Flaherty staying here. I cannot wait to see what they can do, man. It's going to be so much fun. And I would hate to lose one of those guys for a rental guy. If he wants to sign here, Machado wants to sign here for a five-year deal, it's no-brainer. You take it and whatever. But you don't know that. So he might be with the Cubs. He might be with the Yankees next year. So, I mean, with that, I wouldn't do it.
Well, I'll throw this in there. I would love to have him, and I'm having a lot of fun with my buddy Josh today, and I was yesterday as well. The reality of it is I would love to have him. I wouldn't overpay for him, but I will say this. On the flip side of that, okay, on the flip – because, again, let's face it, at the end of the day, and I'm going to say this for a fact, if you can re-sign him, he's worth almost anything you give, okay? And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm glad you brought this up, Benji, and I and again, I'm not disagreeing with you. I understand the premise of your thought, because I think anytime you trade a quote-unquote stud young pitcher for a guy, you start going, man, this guy was young, he was talented. You mentioned Zach Wheeler. I happen to be very familiar with Zach Wheeler because of fantasy baseball. Zach Wheeler's been terrible.
Okay. Well, you don't know that.
I know. That's the problem. That's kind of what I'm saying. I'm with you. Yes.
That when you make it.
That's right.
Trade,
and see that. And isn't that really the ultimate issue? Isn't that really the, you don't know? But here's the thing. I will say.
Zach Wheeler never had a chance to pitch like Flaherty did. He never pitched like him. He was bad when he was brought up. He didn't pitch so well. Flaherty's killing it. It's a little difference, man.
Well, that's my point, though, but he hasn't been – I mean, the bottom – it's nobody's fault that Zach Wheeler hasn't been good. I mean, the reality is this, and this is what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you. We don't know. Like, we assume Jordan Hicks is going to be a stud, right? We hope he is. We hope Jack Flaherty's a stud and Luke Weaver's a stud, and we hope Austin Gomber's a stud, and we hope Alex Reyes is a stud. Doesn't history tell us that they're not all going to be studs, that there's going to be a couple of duds? So in the end, isn't some of this luck? I mean, really, if Zach Wheeler goes to New York and he's what they thought he was going to be, which, believe me, up until a couple years ago, they thought he was a can't-miss guy for that rotation. If he goes there and is a stud, it's a bad deal, right? But if Carlos Beltran goes to San Francisco and they win and they get in the playoffs and they almost win a World Series or they win a World Series and Zach Wheeler is what he is, wasn't that a good trade? I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's a lot of luck. It's a lot of luck, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are looking in their crystal balls trying to tell me today what Jordan Hicks is going to be 4 years from now, or Jack Flaherty, or Luke Weaver. Well, I can tell you this. Of all of them, and this is why I want Manny Machado, of all of them, if I got to bet my last $1,000, if you put Jack Flaherty, Luke Weaver, Alex Reyes, Jordan Hicks, and Manny Machado up on the table – if you ask me in 5 years who's still in the MVP voting or who's still going to All-Star games or who's to do, I'm going to put all my money on Manny, because the odds tell me it's probably Manny over the other ones. And that's all I'm saying. Now.
But that's true, though. That's real true. But the fact is that do you want to lose those guys? Because they're going to push you way back. If you lose three of your main guys in starting rotation or two of the main guys is going to push you really back. Who do you have to replace them with? Who are you going to throw after? A Gant, which I like. I'm going to tell you, I like Gant. Or who do you, are you prepared? It's like you're saying, like you always say, Jimbo, who do you put out there to replace the guy that you're trying to sit on the bench? Who are you going to put out there? Who's going to do the job for you? And it's the same thing here. Yeah, you're going to, the problem here, Jimbo, is that you're going to get a rental and you don't know if you're going to sign him back. That's the whole problem. If he signs back for 5 years, hey, it's a lot easier decision to make because you're going to have him for 5 years. Maybe I can part ways with one of our main guys. I would not give away two guys.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know that. I don't think they do that. I mean, and that's. See, I'm trying to be realistic here. Like, I don't think a deal like this involves, like, two of Reyes, Weaver, Flaherty, Hicks. I think it's one of them, and then it's a guy that's not ready yet. That's what I think. Now, again, I'm speculating. The reality of it is, he's going to cost what somebody's willing to pay. If somebody wants him bad enough and they up the ante, kind of like we saw with Adam Eaton when he went to Washington, kind of like the deals that Chicago White Sox got for all their guys, if those are the deals that are to be made, guess what? Then he costs what he costs. But if Manny Machado's sitting out there, and here's another thing, guys, he's not going anywhere before July 31st. His value only increases. There's no reason for them to trade him now. So getting him now to replace DeJong while he's hurt, it makes no sense. It's not going to happen. But my point is,
I don't know about that.
Well, why do you say that? Because why?
The value decreases the less control he has. So if you're going to get him July 31st, that means you're getting him for 2 months. The value is less of Manny for 2 months than it is for 4 months. I think he goes sometime in June.
I mean, then how come guys aren't traded that soon, ever? I mean, maybe every blue moon. Every blue moon.
It happens sometimes. I mean, a lot of the problem is teams aren't as – rentals aren't on teams that are so ungodly bad like Baltimore that they know they're done. You know, they're 25 games back in the middle of June. It's over. You know, a lot of times teams, especially with the second wild card, they want to wait it out and see how close they can get by July 31st, like Detroit did last year. They refused to admit that they were awful. I think Baltimore understands just how awful they really are, and the value only decreases as it gets closer to the trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you.
I think nothing like
a deadline makes people do crazy things. That's why I say that.
I think Mose, I think you're kind of using the word value. I mean, his value is still going to be, you know, through the roof. But what?
No, I agree with Mose on the 4 months is better than two. Sure.
Well, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. The value that basically we're throwing into a package for Manny Machado would decrease because of the tenure that we would have him. It's less months, and that's why the value of the package would go down essentially. Now, like you pointed out, though, people are going to pay what they're going to pay. I mean, in Baltimore, I've talked to a guy that actually is a huge Baltimore Orioles fan, and he said this front office is complete shit. He said that they don't like their asking prices are extremely high, full on knowing that what Adam Jones is gone after this year, Manny's gone after this year. They have Chris Davis at first base. I mean, their players are not.
But what they do have is an owner that makes passionate decisions about what he likes. Crush Davis is an example of an owner that if he decides, I want to give some of my money to somebody, this is my money, I don't care the outcome, I want to give him some of my money, okay? So they have an owner that gets involved at any time in anything.
But is it too involved?
I agree, but it doesn't matter. It's like Jerry Jones with the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter because he owns it and he can do what he wants. And is it too much? I would say it is. But the reality of it is he can do whatever he wants. Manny Machado is an example of that. I mean, he is on record as saying, I don't want to trade Manny Machado. He also definitely doesn't want to trade him to the Yankees, although the Yankees probably have the most talent to give. And in the end, he would be stupid not to trade him there if they offer more than everybody else, because if he really wants to go there, he can't stop it.
Correct.
So that makes him an idiot. Now, again, like I said, he's a passionate owner, So if he says, I don't care, I'm not trading him to the Yankees, take a little bit less from the Cardinals or the Cubs or whoever it is, okay, then that makes him an idiot. But that's fine, because the chances are Manny could sign with New York as easily as he could sign with anybody else. I've maintained all along that our only chance of signing Manny, and I do think the Cardinals would make an aggressive pursuit of him, especially if they traded for him. I think they have demonstrated that by being all in on Stanton, and by Mo's comments that it was as much a move about the organization as it was winning on the field. Okay, I think they know they need a guy, right? So I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is, I think you do have to trade for him. I think you do have to get him here, and then I think you have to win for him to say, yeah, I could see myself playing here. And let's be honest, it's not 5 years. I could see myself here the next 10 years. So
yeah, it's not going to be five.
And again,
he's 25 right now.
And again, I go back to this. You can't tell me, just look back at history. This is all luck. You hope you trade players for a guy that don't work out for the other organizations. And the truth of the matter is they very rarely do. They very rarely do. I mean,
look at John Mozeliak's track record of the players he's traded.
That's what the other side thinking. Go ahead, Mo.
If you look, I agree with you that a lot of it has to do with luck. I think there's some skill to it because John Mozeliak is so successful at trading away players who become nothing somewhere else.
Well, again,
but that means we had him in the first place.
We had
that player that couldn't do anything elsewhere. We had him in our organization. He was a high pick, or he was a draft, or it was a trade, or anything. However, we had him. That could be another point. Like, how the heck do we have this guy? Yeah, he traded the guy that wasn't going to be anything, and he's lucky about that, but still, he was in our organization at some point, so somebody must like him.
That's why, like, I'm so intrigued by who goes and does the negotiating with other teams. Like, that just is awesome. But, BMO, to your point, I mean, we all know not everybody that you draft is going to pan out. I mean, we have an underrated farm system. What are we ranked, like 15th? I mean, these guys are all studs. Reyes, Flaherty. I mean, yeah, we traded for O'Neill.
All studs.
I mean, well, they're studs right now, and they're very good prospects. We have one of the most underrated prospect farm system in all of baseball. It's unbelievable, and we drafted majority of these guys. I mean, yeah, we got Schrock and we got O'Neill and all those guys, but for the most part, our scouting department, I think, is probably A+. In my opinion, I mean, I could be wrong, but that just goes to show you, like, you know, these guys internally know they have a better idea once they draft that player, once they see that player develop year after year or a couple of years in the system, see what their kind of mindset is, if they're going to even fit into the organization. So I think those are the kind of guys that they throw out the door and kind of say, all right, well, let's see what we can get for him right now before his, you know, value diminishes throughout year after year in the minors.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Josh, because it's so true. We got to give credit to the drafters because whoever's in charge of that, they have done a good job. I mean, Flaherty, we go back to Reyes, we go back to all these guys. And like you said, at times they're not going to work out. Because I go to the Angels camp with my brother, and he shows me their first rounder. He shows me their second rounder. He shows me the third rounder. And I'm like, are you really kidding me? Like, is that a first rounder? And you guys are thinking that this kid right here is going to make it in the big leagues? The big leagues is the best freaking game in the world. And you have these three kids, first, second, third round, and you're counting on these two kids or three kids? You got to be kidding me. They signed a guy from Cuba for $8 million, and the guy has been there for almost 5 years, and he's still an A-ball, all right? $8 million they give to international signing to this kid. 5 years later, he's still an A-ball. Can somebody explain that to me? So if he was here in St. Louis, they would have been eating him up. but he's an angel. So it happens. I understand that. But these guys have done great job drafting players. They've done good job. And the guys coming up in AAA, they're really ballers, man. They can play the ball. They can play baseball, and they'll show it once they get a chance. Do we know what they're going to do? No, but nobody knew that Trout was going to come up and hit. Nobody knew that Darren Erstad was going to come out and hit. They said that he was a prospect, that potential. Nobody knows once they get up here. Nobody knows what their really potential is. And we've seen it with a few of our guys. Once they get here, they come down because it's a different game. So I understand it could happen to any but our drafters, I mean, we have to be excited for the job they've done. And remember, we're not losers. We're not the ones that pick the first 5-10 picks every year. We get from the 15th to the 20th or 25th pick every year. So yep, that's a good draft.
Yeah, and in the end, we don't know. Nobody knows. Not even the players know what they're going to be 5 years down the road. We have no idea how Alex Reyes is going to be 5 years down the road. We have a good idea, or we have a good opinion on what he should be and what he could be. But in the end, we have zero idea. That's why all these metrics and guys like Mo sit here and, you know, they try to predict things with numbers, and that's awesome. I mean, I freaking love doing it. I love sitting around just looking at the numbers, but I can't ever find a pattern. I don't know. But in the end, we have no idea until it happens.
Mose, are you still with us, or did we lose you?
No, I'm still here.
You got any last, before you go, is there anything that you see in Manny's numbers that would give you any pause? I mean, I know you brought up the defense. You know, I'm interested in why, I mean, again, I'm sure the numbers put in there, and again, I've read enough to be dangerous about the defensive things that you see. Some of that's some human element and assumptions in the defensive stats. I've watched him play some games. He's pretty good there.
So yeah, no, I mean, kind of like we talked about with Eric Hosmer this winter, you know, the eye test said he was really good at first base. The metrics said he wasn't. So, you know, there's still a lot to be worked on in terms of defensive metrics. In terms of range, he's just not as rangy as Paul DeJong, as crazy as that sounds, you know, according
to
the
metrics. That's what I have a hard time with. I saw that. I don't believe that. Not for a minute. I've watched him make a handful of plays this year with unbelievable range at short, just ungodly range. And now, to the point, we're not talking about Paul
DeJong has no business making.
Yeah, I've watched DeJong make some really nice – I've said 100 times this year – I am so impressed with how much better he is. He's not as robotic this year, and I'm sure it comes from doing it. Now, on that same flip side, Manny Machado was a shortstop that moved to third base, and this is his first year back at short. I would assume he could get back to there. But again, I'm making assumptions, and I'm assuming things, and I'm doing things. The reality of it is this. I can promise you as I sit here today, if you told me that next year and for the next however many years that I was going to have to choose between Paul DeJong and Manny Machado to play third and short, I think I'd be okay with it. As long as it didn't cost me two of those top-end guys. And when I say top-end guys, the only guys I'm talking about are the guys that are up here right now. So that's
my... Yeah, I would agree with that. And no, there's nothing in terms of his hitting ability that has me concerned at all. He's just getting better and better and better and better the older he gets, and he's just now entering his prime. So, no, there's nothing on the offensive side that worries me. It's just he's probably better suited to be a third baseman, but, you know, let him make that decision ultimately. You know, if it means playing shortstop to sign in St. Louis, then let him play shortstop. Who cares?
You know, and Mose, I know sometimes you got to go. You can kind of stick around and listen to Benji's thoughts on this. So if you go, we always thank you for joining us. Benji, my question to you, of course, will be this. Can we even put – there's not a stat for this. A guy like Manny Machado, who we call a face of a franchise-type player, what does that mean to a club when a guy like that walks through your clubhouse door?
Holy crap, are you kidding me? That's the ultimate, man. That's the freaking ultimate. Machado in our lineup these days, today, you put him in our lineup today and we're like freaking off. I mean, we're off and taking off, man. I'm telling you. He's a different cat, man. I know we were excited for Ozuna. I know we were, and he haven't paid off yet. And I still believe that he's going to be all right. But this is a different cat, man. This is a different guy in a matter of hitting, in a matter of defense. I mean, this guy is way different than Ozuna. Ozuna is a guy that puts a lot of pressure on him, and that probably makes him who he is, right? I mean, that probably makes him good, that he puts that pressure. Is it working right now? No, it's not working right now. It's all right. He'll be all right. I have a lot of faith in him, and I hope the fans have too. But the Machado in our lineup right now, come on, guys. I mean, that'll be like the ultimate freaking lineup right there. And then you have DeJong coming back later on, of course. And then you have Yadi coming back later on. That lineup, man, I don't know. And then Carp catching fire at the right moment. We're still trying to get Fowler to start doing his thing. But, oh, man, that lineup with that Machado guy, oh, my gosh. When I played with Barry Bonds in the Giants system, I went over there, and every day I saw Barry Bonds walk in, man. I was like, man, we're all right. And we didn't win anything. We lost many games. We lost a lot of games, but it was a chemistry issue. But when that guy walked in that room, I was like, holy crap, we're all right, man. We might score 2 or 3 runs just with him by itself. And then I got to do my job catching, and we'll be all right. That's the mentality of myself, thinking just by one guy walking into the field. It's probably what the people feel when Yadi walks in and into a clubhouse. It's like, okay, he's ready to go. He calls it a good game. He has clutch hits. It's probably the same when Mike Trout walks in the clubhouse, or Buster Posey. I mean, they all feel like, oh, man, we got this guy. We're good. I tell you, man, it makes a difference. And if Machado gets to our club, holy moly, man, we'll be in business.
Moles, are you still with us? We lost him. Okay, I was going to let him say one last thing, but we'll get with him next week. Yeah, you know, the truth is, like I said, I would love to have him. Who wouldn't want to have Manny Machado? That's why I had some fun with you, Josh, because I don't think you should ever, ever not want Manny Machado. Now, again, I say that assuming that we're all of sane mind. That's why I had the psychiatrist here for you this morning. Mm-hmm. Of sane mind.
Now you got to put me, who you going to trade?
Well, that's what I mean. Well, hang on. Let me finish. And then my point was, I always make my judgments and assumptions based on sane mind. Like, and what I mean by that is, naturally, you're not going to say, oh, here's Reyes and Flaherty, take them. We want Manny Machado. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, here's Reyes and Paul DeJong. No, I'm of sane mind. I'm saying that you're willing to pay a reasonable cost. And a reasonable cost, ladies and gentlemen, is not Austin Gomber, John Gant, and Orlando Mercado. That's probably not going to get him. Oscar Mercado. That's probably not going to get him. Okay, I know you think that's a fine package, and it's some good young talent, okay? But none of those guys, to my knowledge, are in the top 100 prospects of baseball. You're going to have to trade one of the top 100 prospects in baseball in a package to get him.
Or two.
Well, yeah, or two. You know,
it's Manny Machado, bro. We're not talking about – I don't want to say names, but we're not
I know
talking
what
about
you mean.
This normal guys. We're talking about freaking Manny Machado. It might take two of your main guys and more.
Did you hear what
the Cubs are saying? That it might take Addison Russell. It might take Schwarber.
Javi Baez. See, there's the problem.
Javi Baez.
Cardinal fans don't think those guys are any good. That's the problem. And again, they don't want to admit that Javi Baez is a really good, young, exciting player that can really play.
Are you kidding me? Who is that? Because they don't know baseball. If you don't think that guy is good because he's wearing the Cubs uniform, that's your only reason. I'm sorry, you don't know anything about baseball.
Yeah, that's the problem. That I think ultimately Javi Baez in a deal for Manny Machado immediately starts for them. He starts on the left side of the infield. He replaces some of that swag. He gets in there. He's not scared. He plays the game hard. He does all this stuff. On top of what else they're going to get. And people acting like just because...
Javi's a shortstop, Jimbo.
I know he is.
Javi's a shortstop. He's just playing second because Addison cannot play second.
Right.
That's the only reason he's playing second.
I like Baez better than Russell. Way better.
Oh, yeah.
Way better.
Yeah.
So...
Me too.
You know, so I'm sure the Cubs would rather trade Russell. I have no doubt in my mind. The Cubs would say... Here's Addison Russell, here's Kyle Schwarber, and here's our top pitching prospect.
Does Javi Baez go into place for that top 100 prospect then?
Yeah,
because Cubs don't have a single one.
He's ready to go right now. That's the problem. He is ready to go right now.
That's why I think the Cubs are not going to make the deal. It's just because they don't have anybody in the minor leagues that they can add on to that. You know what I'm saying? It's not like the Cardinals, which... The Cardinals can add a couple people from the big leagues and a couple people from the minor leagues too, because they got the prospects.
They can.
That would be the difference of the deal.
Well, that is the difference. The problem there you're getting into now is kind of what I said before. And I said this about Stanton, if he would have agreed to come here. The Cardinals could and did make it uncomfortable for everybody because they have the money and they have the prospects. So, in essence, if the Cardinals really want to make this uncomfortable for the Cubs or the Yankees or the LA Angels, we've heard, or whoever, right? Philadelphia Phillies, whoever is a good landing spot for Manny Machado, the Cardinals can really make this uncomfortable because they cannot give 10 shits about the money because they got money. Let's just throw money out of this. They've got money, and whether you like it or not, they were willing to take on $300 million.
And they probably would have.
Okay,
if there was no trade clause.
Okay, that's right. No, it was on the table. That was it. Their financial commitment in the deal was $300 million. Okay? So here's the deal. They got money. So let's forget about the money. Take the money out. The Cardinals could, if they want, of all the teams that we're talking about here that are a likely landing spot for Machado, they have the best prospects. The question is, do you want to part with them? Are you willing to trade, like Benji said, two of the top pitching prospects in baseball for 2 months. I mean, Mo's says maybe four. I don't believe it, but maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. Maybe they will trade him early. It makes no sense unless all the teams that want him come to the Phillies and say, I want him now or I'm out, which they're going to look at him and go, really? So if we hang on to him and we decide to trade him, you're not going to submit an offer on July 21st with the 10 other teams and – the offers just don't keep getting better till the last minute, because that's typically how it
works. And I heard from a high-end guy from the Phillies that they're after Machado, and they could too. They're going to be willing to trade. The Phillies have a bunch of prospects.
Sure, they're ranked high. Sure they are.
I changed their name instead of the Phillies. I changed the prospect of Philadelphia because they're all prospects.
Yep.
And they have their guys. If they really want to go after Machado, they can. And I heard from a really good source of the Phillies that they're going after it. So, I mean, there's not going to be just one team, man. It's going to be a bunch of teams after this kid, because this kid is real, man. This kid is real. It's real, man. It really is.
And look at them. They didn't – everybody want to know, why would you go sign Carlos Santana? Why would you sign Jake Arrieta? You guys aren't very good. Well, they know something that other people don't know. They have Aaron Nola. They have Zach Eflin. They have all these young players that let's face it, they tanked, right? They tanked. Now they have all these young players, and what do they have? They got a bunch of money.
I hate that. I don't know what you guys think about that tanking deal, but
I
hate that, and I hate it for the fans, if you ask me.
Oh, it's awful.
If I'm a season ticket holder guy, and you're telling me you're trying to tank games, and I'm still paying for my freaking tickets to go to the playoff and try to win a World Series, and all of a sudden I'm paying my tickets, my money, all year, and then all of a sudden I hear that you're tanking, dude, I'll be so mad, man. I mean, unbelievable. I never been in favor of that. I never been. I know it could work at times, it could work, you know. But I mean, that's not good for the fans. That's totally disrespectful for every fan to step on that field if you're tanking.
Well, it worked for the Cubs. It worked for Houston. And now, let's be honest about it. If the Phillies were to be able to go get a guy like Manny Machado.
It's one time. You guys have, we have 11 championships.
Oh, no. I'm not saying I prefer it. 11. I'm saying that it worked. And what do we do? We,
I know, but
everybody copies success.
One time.
Everybody copies success. That's the way the world is. So my point is.
But do you rather win once every 100 years or 11 times? I mean, I don't know, but I'd rather have my fans. I don't like tanking. That's all I'm saying.
You would rather remain competitive than to have a team like the Marlins right now, where they're just, you know, rolling out the younger generation.
Here's the problem. So would I.
Yeah.
The problem is the landscape has changed.
And how many of them tanked the season and they still haven't won a championship?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So you'd rather disrespect the fans?
I wouldn't.
You, the guy who lived there, the guy who pays every single day supporting your team, and you want to hear that you're tanking? Hell no. I'd rather go to Disneyland then. Okay, you guys go ahead and tank, and I'll go to SeaWorld, buddy, or Disneyland, or Six Flags. Go ahead. Keep tanking. I ain't going to spend no money on you.
You know,
that's horrible for fans, man.
Yeah, but the issue becomes this, okay? The business model, because it's a business, right? And the tanking, what has that now done? See, the Cardinals for years could get a player away, and then they could trade decent prospects for this player, and then he'd come here, and it was winning, da-da-da. The problem now is the Cardinals now have to compete for trading for players and signing them with teams that aren't any good. You used to not have that problem. Now you have that problem. Philadelphia is an example. Who in their right mind would think a team that has been awful for a few years could go get Manny Machado and re-sign him? Well, there's only one way to do that, and they've done it. They've saved all this money. They've tanked. They've saved all this money. They traded anybody that was worth anything and got prospects. And now...
And I'm with you. I'm with you, too. I mean, if it works for you, go ahead. I'm just saying, as a fan, I will be devastating if I hear Mos Alec or the Wit saying that we tanked a few years. I'll be devastated, man, after I spend my freaking salary almost on a daily basis in your park trying to see a team win, and all of a sudden you're telling me you're tanking? That's what I'm trying to say. The business side of it, if it works, hey, that's your decision. Go ahead if you want or don't do it. But for a fan base, and you're a fan, Jimbo, do you want to hear that? As a fan,
well, I've said it 100 times. I don't want to tank. I've said it 100 times. I don't want to do it. I've said it 100 times. I don't want to do it. Listen, I will go to my grave with this. It's this simple. I don't even consider money because they have it. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to spend it. And I can be upset with them all day long for choosing not to give some of their money to somebody to change something. That being said, I will also go to my grave saying, you've got all these quote-unquote prospects. You can only have so many of them that work out. If you got to trade some of them to get a proven guy, and I'm not – and again, we all hope and pray that Marcelo Ozuna is who we thought he was, but the reality of it is this is Manny Machado. This is Albert Pujols at 25. This is Mike Trout. Now listen, Mike Trout, best point, but he is in the discussion with Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Albert Pujols when he was 25.
Yep.
All these great players. This is who Manny Machado is.
Well, let me tell you, Jimbo. The one prospect that we have that we can give is either in the outfield or is either pitching. That's it. We don't have, unless you give away somebody from the big leagues, right?
Well,
that's
you'd have to assume
somebody from the big leagues. We only have outfielders, big prospects, and we have pitching big prospects. So it's going to have to be one of those, man.
The interesting cats in all this deal, too, is I would be curious to know what they think of Jerko or Wong. My guess is they probably think they're below Baez and Russell. That's my guess. That's my guess. Cardinal fans right now are going, are you out of your mind? Jed Jerko. I'm just telling you. That's my guess. So that's the hard part there. The reality of it is.
Go point by point as a fan. If you have that discussion, go point by point. And you say, okay, Jerko against Baez. And you go into the hitting. And then you go into the defense. Then you go into the base stealing. Then you go to the baseball IQ. Then you go to the heart. Then you go to that, and you come to your own decision. Very simple.
Well, and here's the thing that's interesting, and this is why I love this. Okay, this is why I love this. It really doesn't matter what we think. You know who it matters? It matters what the teams that are making the offers think of their players and the player they're getting, and it matters to the team who's trading for said players. How do they fit in our puzzle? And that's really what it's going to come down to at the end of the day. That's why I don't think this thing happens soon. I mean, all it gives is them an opportunity. The price just keeps going up and up and up. Because if you think that the other cities don't think the same thing we think, we got to get him here, then we can sign him. Let's get him here, let's win, and then we'll sign him.
You know, Jimbo, one little thing before we keep going. The same way we are thinking we're getting a good player, the other team that's getting these guys, they don't know what they're going to get. Sometimes they'll be like, okay, we can get like the Marlins with Alcantara or the Marlins with the guy that we used to have in the outfield, a speedy guy, Sierra. I mean, they're just unloading Ozuna for that guy. You know what I'm saying? They don't care who they get in that matter. Like for Manny, they might be just saying, okay, we just got to get anybody because we're going to lose him in free agency anyways. And that's what they might be thinking, you know, as a team, like, okay, I don't care who I get, if he's good or, you know, if he's going to be good for us or not, but we got to get rid of Machado because he's going to be a free agent and he's going to leave. You know what I'm saying? So that other side of the club, they might not be thinking of getting the best deal. They just want to get rid of him because he's going to be a free agent and they need somebody. That's what we need to think about here. They might not want Alex Reyes. They might not want Flaherty. They might want somebody from below because they're trying to get rid of him because he's a free agent. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and that, you know, and again, I can't predict the future. I know that, again, what I do know is that every one of these prospects that we have that are doing well right now in the minors are not going to play for the St. Louis Cardinals. And when they do, the majority of them are not going to work out like we thought. That's a fact. It's a It just is.
So what if you get rid of the wrong one?
Well,
happens. That's why I think that was one of the points
of
that I'd like to make.
So go ahead.
About Machado.
You know what? We've hogged this conversation enough. You wrote the article that sparked this today.
Well,
we got a few minutes left. You make your points audio wise now. Okay. Not in the written word. You can say
a lot
them
of haters out there, Josh.
Yeah, that's right, buddy.
Let's hear it.
What are your main points?
So
let's go point by point real quick.
Well, the first one right off the bat is there's no guarantee. We've covered, and really we've almost covered everything that I've really discussed in the article. But to go back over it, there's no guarantee in baseball. There's no guarantee that we just went out and got friggin' Ozuna. And, yeah, he's not panning out right this second, right off the bat. It's still early. I mean, that's the point I'm making is just because we got, you know, an MVP candidate, an all-star, we got him over the winner, there's no guarantee that getting Machado is going to come in and we're going to make it to the postseason. There's not even the World Series. And I actually looked it up. Three out of the six last MVP winners took their team to the playoffs. And as for, you know, World Series appearances, only five of the last 20 MVPs took them to the World Series. That's the last 10 years. So bringing in an MVP caliber kind of player doesn't automatically solidify you for the playoffs, especially not in a division like the NL Central. It does, and it does, but we have no idea. There's no guarantee what he's doing in Baltimore right now is going to transfer over to the NL and to the Cardinals at Busch Stadium. There's no guarantee about any of that. I get it, and I'm all for it. I'm not – this is nothing dogging on Machado about he's some shit player. No. He's definitely a top five player in all of baseball, without a doubt.
So let me ask you this. And again, this is what I said earlier. If you had $1,000 to your name that you were going to use to gamble, who are you putting it on? Manny Machado or the other four guys that I mentioned to you that are in the car? Who are you going to
combined?
Put
Combined all
not
four
combined,
players?
Because you're not trade. Again, I'm talking about sanity. I'm talking about one of the four that are on the roster
okay,
now.
Then obviously it's going to go to Machado.
And that's why deals like this are made. And again, I get it. And like Benji said, I'm sure at the time the Giants were sitting there going, we really hate to trade Zach Wheeler. Now, the reality of it is I don't think it worked out for either one of them because Carlos Beltran went over there. I don't even think he was that good for him, and they didn't win. Zach Wheeler went over to the Mets and was a huge prospect and actually showed promise when he first came up. Then he's had injuries, and he's just never been the same, and he's never panned out. So the reality of it is this. I mean,
how many guys are we talking about here? One. You know there's nine guys on a field. You know there's 25 guys on a roster. I would collectively, if you would have told me, oh, yeah, combine those, let's say, three prospects that you trade for Machado, I'm putting the $1,000 on three prospects or the three guys that are supposed
to. But here's your deal.
Because they all have a key role in this 25-man roster or even the 40-man roster. Gant being moved up and down, Brebbia being moved up and down, they all have their key role in this roster, and that's what makes – that's what I like better than having, oh, let's go and trade these three guys to Baltimore, and we'll get that one guy who could possibly – these guys in the future, and this was another point I made, is these guys for the future, we have no idea how they're going to pan out, just like we have no idea Manny's going to. So it's a revolving circle.
Here, let me ask you a question. Stop. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Okay, let's say the – here, I'm going to give you guys a hypothetical. You ready?
Okay.
Let's say the package is – Jordan Hicks, Austin Gomber, Carson Kelly. Do you make the trade?
No.
Okay, let me ask you this question. If the LA Angels call you and say, we're willing to offer you Mike Trout for Jordan Hicks, Austin Gomber, and Carson Kelly, do you make the deal?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because how many more years does Trout have?
There, right there. There it is, right there.
What?
Okay, it has nothing to do with talent. It all comes down to if he's going to be here or not.
Opportunity cost.
It all, okay,
opportunity
but
cost.
You said your reasoning was the three guys play a role in the team. You just got rid of those three guys because the guy is signed. At the end of the day, that's what this is about. It's not about the talent on the team. Manny Machado is worth those three guys every day of the week and twice on Sunday. It's about whether or not he's going to be here.
If he stays. Yes. If he stays.
Think about what you said. You said
not me. I do, and I Thanks for setting me up.
I did it as an example.
What I'm talking about is long term. What those three guys bring to this club and the amount of total control, the arbitration years, all those years, 5 years we
can
have with
all these guys.
Quit worrying
about money. We've already established we got money.
It has nothing to do with money. It has to do with team control and how long that they're going to be on this roster for the years to come, and that many amount of players on this roster for the years to come. That Trout coming over. Obviously, I mean, again, arguably the best player in baseball. But how? I mean, I can look it up real quick. I'm sure it's. I think it's what next 3 years or 4 years that Trout is that Trout would essentially be over here for on the Cardinals if we were to trade him. But to my point is, Manny Machado would be here for 2 to 3 months, maybe 4 months, and God knows if we make the postseason with him. But those three guys right now, who knows what could happen later down the road with any of these other starters who get hurt. Carlos has already been hurt this year. We have Waino on the 60-day. Waka, Weaver, Reyes is coming off of injury. Flaherty, all these guys, Michaelis, who knows what's going to happen with these guys? Gomber is doing absolutely phenomenal in AAA right now as of late. His ERA is still up a little bit. But we have options, and that's what I think in this, and I've said it before, depth over Machado. That's what I want. I think depth.
But you're still going to have depth.
You have to count what Machado is going to bring to your club and what those three guys that you're talking about might bring to the club. Because we already set that straight. We don't know what Machado is going to bring, so we even know even less what those three guys are going to be for your club. If you don't think Machado is going to be one of the studs in the league, what makes you believe that the other three guys that haven't even been proven yet are going to be what Machado is? That's what you need to think about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're saying that Machado, we don't know what he's going to bring and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we don't know. So are those three guys even worse then?
No, and I
they don't even know what they had.
So yeah.
The only thing for me for Machado, if he signs here, I'll trade for him. If he's not going to sign, it's not worth losing three guys over 2 month period. That's all.
No, and that's where I'm at too. And it really does come down to where he signs in the offseason. I think Machado would be not very smart if he went into the offseason, or if he, you know, re-signed with the team or extended his contract, whatever it's called, before he hits the free agent market.
Let me give you some names here. I want you to think about these as you, because again, I did it on purpose because it's easy. It is. It's easy for all of us to look at these prospects and make the assumptions of what they're going to do versus a guy who's done it for how many years now? In the big leagues. In the big leagues, he's done it for 5 years, 6 years, right? Okay. Let me give you some names. What do these names mean to you? I've already gave you Zach. I'll start with Zach Wheeler because he brought him up. You know what Zach Wheeler was? He was the sixth pick in the draft, okay? And he was the sixth ranked prospect on the top 100 list and fourth on the pitcher's list, which is better than some of these pitchers you're talking about trading when he went for Carlos Beltran. What's he become? Nothing. Let me give you some more names. You ready? You ready? What do these names mean to you? Brett Wallace, Clayton Mortensen, and Shane Peterson. What do those names mean to you? I know what they mean to me.
Absolutely.
Hang on. They don't mean anything to you? You know who they? You know what it meant to the St. Louis Cardinals and to the Oakland A's? It meant Matt Holliday. And let me tell you something. Brett Wallace was the quote-unquote best hitting prospect in the world. He was a can't-miss guy out of college that did nothing but rake. Why don't you look up his career stats in the big leagues?
Awful.
Okay? So my point is, everybody grumbled when we traded Brett Wallace, okay? Everybody grumbled when we traded Adam Kennedy for Jim Edmonds, first-round pick, middle infielder. Those don't grow on trees. Great, okay? They're prospects for a reason. Now, again.
I got you one if you want me to say it.
Go ahead.
I got you. Troy Gloss, when we were in the Angels, they had McPherson, Dallas McPherson. Now, I want you to look up Dallas McPherson, and the Angels let Dallas, Troy Glaus, which he was a 30-plus, 100-plus RBI, 300 hitter, they let him go for Dallas McPherson. And I want you to look it up. Dallas McPherson, what did he do?
I mean, less than
saying?
Nothing.
Teams are willing to let go a regular producer for a prospect. I mean, that's how sick this game is sometimes. You have a guy that has done it, like Machado, for example. And you, if it's about money and they cannot pay him, I understand that. But I'm saying the Angels could have paid Troy Glaus. They could have paid him. Easy. They could have paid him. But no, they wanted to save some money. So guess what? They never had that third baseman, and they still don't have that third baseman with 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, 300 average. Since that Troy Glaus guy. There you go. That's just one of the ones that I know.
Well, I didn't realize we've ran so late. The reality is we got to get moving. But the truth is this. Josh, your article's not wrong. I was having fun with you. There's nothing wrong with your article. There's nothing wrong with the article to go get Manny. I make all of my assumptions based on sane decisions. Would I trade the quote-unquote farm for Manny Machado? It's safe to say that Jim Cromer would trade more than the average bear. I might be willing to give a guy that most Cardinal fans would go, are you out of your mind? Okay, I probably would. And the reason I would is because you have so much to your word. See, you're using depth as wanting to keep it. I'm using depth as turning that depth into a everyday player. And listen, the days are over where Mike Matheny, or anybody for that matter, has to make the lineup out and decide who's going to hit third. Those days are over. They're over. Because if for 2 months, hang on, for 2 months or 3 months, whatever it is, you get to pencil in Manny Machado every day. And then you hope, and there's absolutely zero reason not to, pencil him in batting third for the next 10 years.
Our three hole is just so bad right now. Jose Martinez.
Listen.
I know he's not Manny Machado, but he's doing fine at three hole.
You want to? He doesn't have enough power to bat third. But the truth of the matter is, would you like to see him bat second or fourth? I would.
this line.
Then
we can turn this into the whole, have all these guys that Matt Carpenter.
Are you the guy
here
that didn't think that the Yankees needed Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth because one of them was doing just fine in the three hole? I mean, come on. Let's be realistic here. Jose Martinez is a great story. The bottom line is this. I love the guy. I'm happy for him. But he's killing us at first base. Nobody, you can't deny that. I don't care what anybody says. Okay?
Well, Clark killed us for a while, for a couple of years at third base and at second base.
That's right. And sooner or later, this has all got to change. You got to quit.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
We got to stop robbing Peter to pay Paul. How can you be any good thinking, I'm going to play somebody somewhere they can't play because I think they can hit a little bit? How do teams win doing that?
Because they have priorities. They have their pecking order, their totem pole. Go ahead, BMO.
But that's how baseball, 90% of the league is. Guys out of position. Look around. Don't look at us. Look around. How many Jose Martinez are in the league? How many? Go. Look around and go roster by roster, and you will see what we mean. How many of those guys are they? I don't think Schwarber is a first baseman before Rizzo, when Rizzo got hurt. I don't think Schwarber is a left fielder. Ben freaking Sobris is an outfielder, even a second baseman. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And they do okay, but that's what every freaking team has these days. Guys that can hit, but hey, first base is the thing. And I don't think Jose Martinez is killing anybody, Jimbo. I know you're going overboard with this, but I know you've been doing that. You've been saying that for a while. But, man, Martinez is doing what he's been asked.
Oh, I'm not mad at him. I never get mad at the player for doing what's asked of him.
No,
never.
I know.
Never.
I know, but I'm saying, like, he's been great there. I mean, for what he can do, of course, what he is. He's been great. We had Carpenter playing second base. He cannot have – he doesn't have – a range. You know how many hits went by him at third base? He can't even throw the ball. Anything through the hole at third base, he cannot get a guy out at first. We had those guys. We got Jericho at shortstop, that ball in the hole. He cannot make a play at first.
Well,
he's going to pay 100%.
And my point is, and this is where I'm going, and this is where I'm going with it, okay? Look at the teams that win. They don't have guys playing out of position. That's my point. Houston Astros don't have somebody playing. I mean, for Christ's sakes, they've got three shortstops playing on the infield.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
They have three shortstops playing on the infield. The L.A. Dodgers lose Corey Seager and are able to bring in their center fielder because he's a shortstop. Okay? That's my point. Defensively.
But that's who they have, though.
Right, so what we have is a bunch of guys that we want to play because they're supposed to be great hitters, and a couple of them are not. I have no problem with Jose Martinez. Zero.
Yeah,
okay?
He's been doing great. I mean, I told you guys before, when you have a guy, this is who we have, and we have a guy that can hit but cannot play first base so good, hey, we'll go get you a guy go get you Rizzo, or go get you Jose Abreu from the White Sox. Why can't you do that then?
I will say this. I will say this. Let's be realistic about this, too. If the St. Louis – and I'll end it with this because we do got to go. If the St. Louis Cardinals are able to obtain a Manny Machado and pay him without it killing them, and I'm not talking about how much money they have. They've got enough money to pay him whatever it costs. I'm talking about in their business model. The whole reason they'll be able to do it without it really killing them is because of Jose Martinez and Tommy Pham. Because neither one of them are ever going to make real money because of their situations. That is why they'll be able to do it.
It is really freaking sad that that's going to happen. Because Tommy Pham has shown everybody that he could freaking play when healthy. And then Jose Martinez has shown nothing but the freaking clutch hit after clutch hit. And it's really sad if they go and say, okay, we're going to get a first baseman now. See you later, buddy. Bye-bye. That'll be really sad, man. That'll be something that I would really hate with my guts. You know what I'm saying, guys?
Well, I don't even know that they'll do that. I don't know that they'll do that. I think I'm saying that if they're going to have Manny Machado, they're going to have Jose Martinez at first base. They're going to have Tommy Pham in center because they both are producing, and neither one of them are ever going to be $20 million guys because of their age and where they sit in team control. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're going to replace them. In fact, I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying that the Cardinals are sitting here going, Jose Martinez, keep working. You're going to have to keep getting better because the reality of it is we need you to play first base.
You watch the highest, and it's sad to say, but the higher that Martinez might get paid might be $5 million, which is sad to hear. But it might be $5 million. I'm not saying what I would give him because he's hitting way better than many guys that get paid more than $10 million. I tell you that.
Well, but again,
to get to the 5 to the 4 because of his production.
Well,
if he keeps going the same way he is.
He won't be the first person. That's the way the whole thing works. He won't be the first person to not get paid.
The first or the last, Jimbo.
That's right. And as you remind us all the time, Benji, it's a business. Well, listen, I had a great conversation today. Josh, I thought your article was good.
Thank you.
Again, I think my favorite article, I love informative pieces, but I also make pieces that make you think. And even though when I saw the headline, and I knew what you were doing, and that's why I had a little fun with you. And I had the psychiatrist and the medical staff here to examine your head when you got here, trying to tell anybody that we don't need Manny Machado. But you checked out okay, surprisingly. They did put you in this padded room. But other than that, you're okay. Hey, I want to thank everybody for joining us today.
Security now, he got away. He got away.
Yeah. He's running down the street with a straitjacket on. I want to thank everybody for joining us today, especially Mo's Algorithm. Thank you so much. Bow ties and sweaters where analytics meet the eye test. I know everybody enjoys that very much. Again, the question was to Manny or not to Manny. I think even Josh now understands that it is to Manny. That being said, thanks to all of our social media partners. We can't do this without you guys. It starts with our good friend Nate McHenry over at rallysquirrel.com. He does an amazing job, has built an amazing page. If you, too, would like to be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club, simply go to rallysquirrel.com. Check it out. Less than the price of a cup of coffee. You're eligible for all these great prizes. We just had Yachty on the Rally Squirrel Report on Monday. It was a fun episode. Sometimes we try to get into some things that you typically may not hear on a show like this. But, again, great prizes. I know the winners are all ecstatic about the stuff they get, and they would recommend it highly. That's rallysquirrel.com. Our friend Chris Lawless over at Cardinals Nation and Ron Nuttall, they're doing the new Cardinals 24/7 podcast. Congratulations to them, and good luck with everything you guys got going. That's Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7, two of the best Facebook groups out there. Tremendous everything STL Sports. My man Mick Light over at Art City Media, thank you so much for your continued support of this show. The numbers don't lie. Ever since you started sending our show out through your social media, we've picked up a ton of followers. Thank you so much. Great Facebook pages out there, guys. St. Louis Cardinals Nation, STL Cardinals, Cardinal Freak, fans of Yadier Molina is one of my favorites. Cardinals, STL Cardinals Crew. There's no less than 20 Facebook groups out there, guys, if you just search them. If you want to have some great conversations, be in there. My advice to you is get in there and be a gentleman or a lady, though. There's no reason for some of the talk that goes on in there, and it just does nothing but cause problems. I always say fan how you want to fan, but fan with some respect, will you? Social media, at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. Find us, follow us. We're going to follow you back if you're a Cardinal fan. Facebook, type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our Facebook page, click invite your friends. Happy to have them be a part of it. Two Birds on a Bat Show is where you'll find us on Instagram. And, of course, couldn't do the show without our friends at lineupmedia.fm, where they take your entertainment time very seriously. Now home to the newest internet radio station, Yo Radio. Download it for free on the App Store. Leave them a review. They'd greatly appreciate it. It's growing every day. New entertainers, new movie stars, new everybody bringing their shows on, their stations on. If you want to hear what they're listening to and if you want to hear what they got going on, make sure you check out Yo Radio. Again, special thanks to our sponsors, InnovatedCompanies.com. Don't forget my man, Randy Green. Got Innovated Construction, Innovated Heating and Cooling, Innovated Electric, and, of course, now Innovated Plumbing. 35 years experience. He's a second-generation craftsman and, most importantly, a man of his word. Get him involved early in the process. Save yourself time, energy, and, most importantly, money. That's my man and yours, Randy Green. Hi to Stephanie Green, his wonderful daughter, who keeps him on the straight and narrow each and every day and going to the right place, as I hear. So thanks very much to her as well. My man, Mark Marcuso, Arlington Greens, the jewel here in the Midwest. Don't forget Arlington Greens down in Granite City. It is a hidden gem here on this side of the river. I don't care if you're on that side of the river. Get over and check out Arlington Greens. A little rain, a little heat, and that place plays like nobody's business. Check it out. Tell Mark Marcuso we sent you. And, of course, Man, I'm hungry right now and want some ribs. Adam Smokehouse. Go see Mike. Go see Frank. Tell them we said hello. Tell them Two Birds on a Bat sent you. To all of our followers out there who are sending us tweets with their pictures of their food at Adam Smokehouse, thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it. For my man Josh, my man BMO, and Steve, who's not here again and again, we're going to give him the Marcelo Ozuna treatment. He is officially suspended for a day. And I think, like Benji said about Tim Lincecum, I think it's time for Steve to carry our bags into the next live read we do. I think that's going to be his punishment. Josh, what do you think? You good with that?
Oh, yeah. I'm good with that.
Benji, you okay with that if we treat him like you guys treated Lincecum?
He can carry our mics out, you know.
Okay. I think we do that. In fact, he just showed up an hour after the show's done. So you're going to get treated like Tim Lincecum. You have to listen to the show to hear what happened.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I'm not. My mic's not even on.
See, your mic's not even on because you're so darn late. Hey, for everybody here at Two Birds on a Bat, let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.